Hello, this is Joshua Mack from Cornerstone Bible Church, and we are talking marriage and family. And I want to do a little thinking again today about the importance of your relationship with the Lord. I am convinced that there's hardly anything your kids need from you more than to see you walking daily with God. And they need not just to see that you have a living, breathing, real, genuine relationship with God. They need to experience the impact of that, of having a mom or a dad who is living their life in the presence of God, relating to God as if God were more than just a subject, but was actually a person in whom they were believing, trusting, relying, depending, rejoicing. And I am emphasizing that because, first of all, it's something the Scripture does. The Bible, you look at the New Testament, you just open it up and read the way that it describes our life in this world as believers, and everywhere the way it describes us is as people who are living our lives in the presence of a very real God. I just started flipping through the Bible. I opened up first to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, where Paul talks about relying on God. Then Romans chapter 16, verse 25, where Paul talks about being strengthened by God. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. I'm just flipping randomly almost, where Paul talks about sinning against one of his brothers. And he says that actually when we sin against our brothers, that's like we're sinning against Christ. There's a connection between me sinning against you and me sinning against Jesus. He's present. My life is lived. Your life is lived in the face of God. Paul talks in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, about being personally comforted by God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, he talks about walking by the Spirit. And that's how we don't fulfill the desires of the flesh. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3, he talks about Christ dwelling in our hearts and enabling us to know the love of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, he says the Christian life is to be lived in dependence on the Spirit. And what does that mean? What does that result in? Giving thanks always to God the Father in the name of Christ. And these are, I know, very obvious verses, but sometimes I wonder if we on a daily basis are really thinking about life like that, which is, I guess, just another reason why I think it's so important for you to pursue a deeper relationship with Christ and for your children to see you being strengthened and walking in the Spirit and giving thanks always to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, because we're living in a culture right now that lives as if God were absent. I was reading a book recently. It was called Bulwarks of Unbelief. And one of the questions that book was asking, the reason it was written, is because nowadays people seem to feel like God is, God's not real. And he said that if you if you look at human history, there hasn't been really a time in human history where atheism was seen as a valid, a very serious objection. Maybe to put it another way, he talks about the days of Luther as an illustration. He says, in Luther's day, it was hard not to believe in God. And what he means, I think, it's a pretty deep book. I'd love to read it with somebody else. But what he means, I think, is not obviously that everyone was believing in the true God in Luther's day, but that it was hard to be an atheist. The world didn't feel like an atheistic world, I guess, is the way that he would say it. It seemed obvious that there was a God, and that God was at work somehow in this world. And that's been true for most of human history, actually, until the last, he would say, 150, 200 years. And there's been a shift that has taken place somehow. And now what you find is that it can feel difficult to believe that God is present and that God is active and that God is at work. And he's not really talking here about just philosophical objections or anything like that. He's just talking about the way the world feels right now to most people, which of course is, you know, hard to say. He even has to get more specific, I suppose, how the world feels to most Westerners. Because actually, it's interesting, when I lived in Africa, it was hard for people to be an atheist. You don't meet many atheists in Africa. There, maybe in some of the more westernized parts of Africa, but for the most part, when we would go out to witness, we wouldn't meet a lot of people who would claim to be atheists, or would even feel like, where it would feel like to them that was a valid objection. And yet in the West, obviously, it does. And so the question that he's asking in this book is why? And whether he's right or not, one of his answers in terms of what has changed is our reliance on technology. And so he's not against technology, obviously, but what he's saying is that the way in which we use technology and just how ubiquitous it is, how it's present everywhere, we use so much technology, we're so reliant on technology that we don't even sometimes realize how reliant we've come to be on technology. But he says, our use of technology shapes us, and it shapes the way we look at ourselves. It shapes the way that we come to understand things, and the way that we think we discover what's true. It shapes the way that we look at the world, and it impacts the way that we look and think about God. And for example, he talks about the way it shapes how we look at ourselves. So we kind of come to this world as people who are really reliant on technology. We are constantly thinking about how do we control our environment to make us more comfortable. So that wasn't always even an option in the ancient days, or at least not much of an option. But now we are constantly assuming that we can somehow, through technology, bring our environment into under our control and make it more comfortable for ourselves. Technology makes us more susceptible to fake knowledge, in a sense. We have access to so much data, and any thought that we have or question that we have, we can quickly go to technology to discover at least a superficial answer. And the problem with so many superficial answers is that they're superficial. We think we know something well when we actually have only hardly any knowledge about it deeply. We also come to the world now almost as if the world were like a machine that we can fix. And so when there's a problem in our world, technology has trained us to think of it as not something really to look to God to and rely on Him about, but for us to somehow do something through technology to make it better for ourselves. And technology, as a result, has often kept us from living our lives depending on God. We look to technology almost often in ways that people used to look to God. And so the world often feels to us as if God were distant and God were remote. And the truth of the matter, of course, is that He's not. God is present and God is active. And yet, sometimes technology acts almost like an anesthesia to keep us asleep, comfortably asleep to the reality of the presence of God, and to keep us from doing the kinds of things that would wake us up to God and to his presence in our lives. I was thinking of it a little like, I guess, having money, not having money. I remember when I went to Uganda many years ago, I flew in late at night and there was no one there to pick me up at the airport, and we didn't have much cash at that point. It was the end of the month and I was going to visit a fellow missionary, and he didn't show up actually at the airport. And so I thought I could just use my credit card, but of course you can't use your credit card in Uganda. And so I had enough money to get to a hotel, but when I got to the hotel, their credit card machine wasn't working. And so I didn't have money for more than one night, and I didn't have my friend's phone number, actually, which was obviously pretty dumb. But I remember at that moment realizing that my only hope was to depend on God. And that in the past, I would have often looked to money or to my credit card, but the fact that I didn't have that at that moment forced me to rely on God, which of course is exactly what I should have done if I had a credit card or money. It's not that money or a credit card should necessarily in and of themselves keep me from relying on God, but because of my own foolishness, sometimes they did. And the same is true in our world today. We are living in a time period where it's very easy for us to go through our days without being forced to look to God. And the result is that we can begin to live lives as if God were not close. But again, He is. And our children need to see us as they grow up in this world that is tempting them to feel as if God were not present, and just because they couldn't see God, He's not there. We need to show them what it looks like to have a daily personal relationship with God. And how do we do that? I think, one, we need to remember the privilege of what we do have. You know, we have a speaking God. We have a God who talks. And sometimes we think just because we can't see God with our eyes right now, we really have it bad. And of course, that is part of the result of the curse. We've been cast out of God's presence. And yet, even as God cast us out of His presence, He's shown us mercy, because He has not just disappeared. He still speaks, and His word is valuable. I mean, even in terms of just having a relationship. I had a son who couldn't really talk because of special needs. He was only able to say a word or two. And I now have parents who are able to talk, and yet I don't see them. They live far away. And I was thinking, who is it easier really to have a relationship with? Someone who doesn't talk, or someone who, but you can see, or someone who does talk, but you can't see? Ultimately, in terms of a deep relationship, words, the ability to communicate, it matters. Even what makes us different than a chair. You can see a chair, you can see a lot of objects, but what makes a human different than a chair? One of the things that makes us different and enables us to have relationships with other humans is our ability to speak words. And even though we're not able to see God right now, we need to remember the privilege we have, because God does speak to us and we can speak to Him. We also need to activate our faith on a daily basis and not allow technology and just the way the world feels right now to keep us from daily believing, daily relying, daily trusting, daily giving thanks. And so we need to live in this world as it is while doing what we do, seeing beyond what we can see to God. And so as I relate to my brother, I remember I need to activate my faith. The way I treat you is an expression of my attitude towards God. I actively love Christ by loving you. Or I recognize that when I sin against you, I see beyond you and I'm actually sinning against Christ. Or when you show mercy to me, I see that as coming from you, but also a means of God showing His grace to me. This is part of why we pray, of course. It's a way of rebelling against the way people think the world is, and saying, no, I trust in God. Of course, this is also why we need spiritual friendships. God wakes us up spiritually and enables us to have a living, breathing relationship with Him through our relationship with other believers. And then, of course, this is why daily we need to seek to enjoy God. And I think this should be a major goal you have each and every day. This is, for me, one of the reasons why I prioritize time in the Word and in prayer with God at the beginning of every day. Sometimes people get upset about the idea of quiet time. Maybe not upset, but they kind of will say things like, don't be legalistic or something like that. And I kind of understand what they mean. But on the other hand, I kind of don't understand what they mean because, you know, if I talk about the importance of communicating with your wife on a regular basis, if you're going to have a good relationship with her, you don't come back and say to me, that's so legalistic. I suppose if I said, well, you need to talk to her 5 minutes a day at this time, and these are the specific words that you need to say, that would start to get weird, and maybe that's what some people do with quiet times. But instead of thinking about them as like 30 minutes that you need to have just to have a good day or something self-righteous or ridiculous like that, you need to think about the importance of you hearing from God and you speaking to God as a person. God is not technology that you use. He's a person, and you have a relationship with the person by listening to them and by talking to them. And that's what your children and what you need to do. They need to see you doing, and you need to do for your own good and for God's glory as often as possible. And so when you sit down to read God's word, what are you doing? One of the things you're doing is you're asking, Lord, show me your glory. And you're looking in that passage for truths that you can take and then praise God for. Or you are asking, Lord, show me who I am. Show me my sin. And or you're looking at a passage and you're saying, what can I pray for others about, or what do I need to pray for myself about? But you're not just coming to the Bible as some sort of dead book to be studied, but you are coming to God's word for what it is, God's word. This is where God speaks. And you're seeking, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and because of the sweet love of your Savior, Jesus Christ, to respond to God's word by pursuing a deeper relationship with God.